First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Actually, let's include verse 4 with that this morning as well. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Not just will we have that hope in heaven, but the hope of heaven is kept by heaven itself. It's God's promise. Our Heavenly Father has given us a hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is alive and makes alive. Not just a lively hope. That's got more to do with happiness and frivolity. But a living hope. We have a living hope. Not that the hope lives on, but the person of Christ, who is our hope, is alive and well and lives on. And in our daily lives, as we'll see, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. He is always confirming to us that God is faithful, that God loves us. When the enemy comes with this barrage of where is God or where was God, the Holy Spirit is always bringing us back, pointing us to Christ with the reality that he's right here, right now. It's our living hope. Tribulation, it says in Romans here, produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. What tribulation actually produces develops an acute realization of our living hope. That's what's being developed. It's not that suddenly we become a person whose character is more hopeful. No. It's an acute awareness of our living hope. It's different than just making us more hopeful. Sometimes the things that we hope for leave us disappointed. You can say amen if you want. This can leave us disappointed with God even, depending on what we were hoping for. But Christ, our living hope, has given us a new life, resurrection life, that does not disappoint, even though he may fall short of our expectations. He never fails in his. God never fails in his expectations. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Actually, take it from verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There are always situations that are disappointing. For some, Life itself is just plain disappointing. It can be like that. Just that bad. But we are never alone in our disappointment. Only in our expectations. We're never alone in our disappointment, only in our expectations. Because if we're expecting something other than God's will, you can expect not to see God there. He hasn't forsaken you, but he's not in that expectation. So we feel alone. We need to lift our level of hope to the same level of hope that God has for us. Into his will. Into eternity. Because sometimes it involves that as well. It's not just here. This isn't just about earth. And we can get so fixated on it because we are so temporal and life is so daily. And we lose our perspective of the eternal. And that will steal your hope. That will steal your hope if that happens. In the book of Job, as I've gone through that in the past, he starts off by saying the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And that's just Job, and that's just the first answer that we give because we're Christians. It's the right answer. But if the grief lingers, we'll move into other areas where Job also visited, even accusing God of unfaithfulness. What do you have? Why do you keep bothering me, you watcher of men? He says at one point. He becomes depressed. And the thing that was going on there, well, where is God? Well, Job had lost sight of his hope. But God, who was Job's hope, never lost sight of him. God will never lose sight of us, even if we run away. We'll never lose sight of us. And we can take hope in that. Start there. Maybe it isn't what you want, but if it's what he's providing, we have to live there in his provision. Because he walks us through things sometimes, not just around things. I had I've shared this with you before, but a thought, if you call it a vision, it was a thought, a word picture in my head of walking down a path with Jesus. And it was a great path, and there was a great mountain on this side, and there was another path still going kind of in the same direction down here, and that was full of a stream, and it had trees, and I'm leaning right. I'm going like this down the path. But I suddenly noticed he was standing over here. And he said to me, "Where are you going, Wayne?" "Oh, I'm going here." "No, no. We're going to go through that mountain that you saw." I'm thinking, maybe we'll walk around it, Lord. We can walk around a mountain. I could do that with you. I might even climb it with you. "No, we're going to walk through that mountain, Wayne." Sometimes these things are that ominous, that, are you serious? I can't do this. Exactly. But God can. It's a time when we let him. It's a time actually when faith grows. Faith grows more in the valley than it does on a mountain. It appears like when we're all happy and pumped up and our faith is so strong. I remember feeling that one time driving home after work. And I don't know, I was somewhere just before the Red Rooster. And I had this crazy feeling of, and just coming up toward Mount Brandon and Mount Sicker, crazy feeling of this huge faith. I thought, wow, I got faith. And I said, I could say to the mountain, "Be removed into the sea," and it'd have to obey me. That's how I was feeling. And the next day, situation came along, and it showed up. I didn't have much faith at all. Certainly not enough to move a mountain. God grows our faith because it needs to grow. John chapter 14. Wouldn't it be nice if God could just make you stronger? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just sit on the couch and watch exercise programs and lose weight? Wouldn't that be great? I'd like that. You know, couch potato exercise. And we'd be in the right position for a nap when we finished exercising. And we'd wake up skinny. No. Well, faith is like that. We want to know God. Well, where do we know God? We know God in where we live. And we put down roots in the valley so that we could be a tree. We could be a tree, seriously. We could grow into the kind of person that others can find comfort in. Under our influence. That's what God is busy growing. John 14, verses 16 to 18. Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth," capital S, the Holy Spirit. "The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans." I will not leave you orphans. When we as believers are doing some introspection of our lives, we need to look for more than just how I'm doing. We need to look for Jesus, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside. We need to come to that place. When we bring ourselves in, I don't know if you have moments of just kind of pulling it all in, moments of prayer, maybe fasting as well. And just moments of quietness. You get a chance to get alone and you shut out the world for a bit. And just some quiet moments with God. Yes. And that realization, the Holy Spirit will confirm that He's right there. He's right there. Giving you all of the Father's will, which includes this world and the world to come. He sees no stop and go. There is no end of life with God. You're either separated from Him or with Him. But when you're a believer, it just goes on forever. And everybody else knows the end. But I'm not sure we'd identify it so clearly. We know the end of the ones we've lost. But when it happens with us, unless, you know, there's some marked discomfort before we leave. Sometimes, maybe like Enoch, walked with God and was not. We go to sleep and we wake up and, whoa, I got a nice bedroom. What happened? Yeah, with God, it's like that. It's like that. He's both there and here all at the same time. Jesus did not leave us to manage things on our own. He did not leave us orphans. He didn't leave you to manage things on your own. You don't have to figure things out. I used to be deathly afraid of my parents leaving because, unfortunately, they had some issues. And I was abandoned. I wasn't left on the side of the road. I was left alone in the home I lived in to try to figure things out for myself. And it scared me pretty badly. But since Christ, that has all changed. Since God, I actually found out there is a right and a wrong. There is, and I don't have to keep track of it. I just have to ask God which is which on any given situation. And He'll show you. Romans chapter 5. Verse 5 reminds us that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He has been given to us to remind us that God loves us. God loves the world. God loves our neighbors. God has given us His love in Jesus Christ. God wants us to share this redemptive love with everyone. Boy, there's a lot of reminding going on. I thought it was just about me. No, it's not. Why are you here? Why are you still here? Because God has something He wishes to do in you, with you, and through you. Are you going to understand it? No. Well, I want to do what so-and-so does. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Maybe that's not what you're called to do. Maybe your faithfulness is small and you would seem, say, insignificant. Oh, beloved, let me remind you that eye has not seen, nor has the ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Not just for our sake, for the sake of others. Yeah. And you don't always get it. You don't always see it. One of the hardest jobs to describe is pastoring. When I first started doing this in Alberta, I would come home and tell Maria that, I don't feel like I've done anything today. And she'd always have to go, what? And she'd start telling me everything I was involved in during the course of that day. And I would kind of, okay. Because we don't know the significance of simple acts of kindness, simple, even quick little rebukes even, we don't know the significance of the things that God does through us. But we can trust Him with it. Because God lives in us, we are actively giving hope to people everywhere. Unless you're not receiving God's hope. And if you're not receiving God's hope, then you're not giving it everywhere. And so we take it in ourselves and it's there for others as well. The Holy Spirit reminds us daily of all these things and would have us to share these things with everyone around us every time opportunity presents itself. And it does, doesn't it? You know it does. You're out there. You're in the world. You're around people. There's always these moments you can go the extra mile. You can offer some comfort. You can all these things offer a safe place. 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Oh, gosh, I just read something there that kind of made me think. Hope. Hope. Huh. If I'm enjoying my hope, if I'm living in hope, if I'm hopeful, full of hope, all kinds of good words. Wow. If that's going on in my life, that's because I have submitted to the will of God. I have bowed out to the thing I cannot understand. I have stopped fighting for what I want God to do. And now I'm sitting quietly before Him who does all things well. All things well. You need to know, you probably do know, God will not harm you. But He will hurt you from time to time. As a potter hurts the clay to put it into a particular shape. Then it's okay. It's okay to cry during those times because it hurts. He is conforming. Conforming. Oh, you mean just molding in some nice warm hands and not pushing too hard? Oh, no, no, no. If there's an air bubble in the clay, the potter will take it and he'll slam it on the table to get rid of the air. Maybe we're too full of air sometimes. Oh, no, not me. I'm not. Oh, excuse me. Maybe. We don't know. We don't know these things. But God knows these things. And we can trust Him, who is our hope in all of these things. We're hoping for the glory of God. Are you hoping for the glory of God? And if you're hoping for the glory of God, you'll have way more. You'll look way more hopeful than if you just... Not that you ever would, but hoping for the glory of man. Hoping everybody notices me. Hoping everybody likes me. Hoping. That's hoping for the glory of man. Not so good. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 20. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory which shall be revealed in us. Well, it is revealed, yes, and being revealed, and will be revealed. for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Yes. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Okay, what's God's hope? God is hoping that we'll trust him in all of the things we don't understand. Because that will keep you close to him. Crying, maybe, depending on what it is, but you'll be close to him. God has a hope. God hopes that his glory will become preeminent in your life. God is hoping that, because when this happens, we are at our best. We are who he created to be. God's plan, although he could see it coming, was not that man should fall. His hope was that man should not decide good and evil for himself. That he should not live behaving like an orphan. Deciding for yourself what's good and what's evil. That's a lonely, painful place. This is a lonely, painful world. I dare to suggest that's part of the reason. But he did. And so now, Adam did this. He just made this choice. And so now we continue, generation after generation, cycling through the ramification of Adam's choice. Even the earth suffers for the continual poor choices that we make. Creation itself is waiting for the final redemption, the revealing of the sons of God. Even we ourselves groan and travail in our bodies. And even if our bodies are healthy, we groan because of our attitudes sometimes. We're believers and we're like, oh, Lord, deliver me from the body of this death, from the things I don't want to do and I still do. Oh, God, deliver me. Deliver me. And so the whole of creation, we live in a saved, being saved, will be saved time without measure. Are saved, will be saved, and being saved. Absolutely. It's not like you come to the altar and you say, sorry, so I'm saved. Yes, you are. And you're positionally in Christ. Now, experiencing the saved life, it's going to take a while to get all of it. I think just before you leave, you begin to see its fullness. And then when you arrive, you'll know him even as you're known by him. Oh, my goodness. You think you have questions when you get to heaven? Yeah. It will be answered like that. You'll know him even as you're known by him. Wow. I'm looking forward to the biggest I've ever had. Yay! You made it, Wayne. No, Lord. You made it. You made it possible. You did it all, Jesus. I just hung around. I tried to hang on. You carried me. I didn't think I was going to make it. It's okay, Wayne. You're here. And I'm going to give another. It's my expression of being relaxed. Creation is subjected to futility, not willingly, not God's idea. But God deliberately leaves it this way so that his mankind can face the insanity of their choices and return to him. That's why the world stays a mess. Anybody ask you why God would, a God of love would create such a world? He didn't. Man created it. God leaves it the way it is so that man can realize the insanity of his choices and return to the Savior. That's it in a nutshell. So that leaves us in a rather awkward place. this earth where everything keeps falling apart and breaking down and people keep leaving, and as soon as you get a friend, they go to heaven, and oh, yes, yes. On that kind of a human level, we need Jesus. And He is here. And He is in our lives. And He can't get any closer. Maybe we need courage to go with it. Absolutely. Every time I pray for the will of God, my next prayer out of my mouth is, Lord, grant me courage. I know Your will. Oh, grant me courage, Lord, this scares me to death. Not yet, it doesn't wane, but it will one day. Hope. Absolutely. Hope. Is the day finished? Not yet. Oh, I don't know if I can take much more. I get that. He gets that. He's there for us, with us, and brings us through. Romans 8, 21 to 25. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. You're giving birth to faith. And that's not an easy thing. That is not an easy thing. You're giving birth to faith. Or you're growing bitter and your faith is disappearing. One or the other will happen in these times. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we who are saved, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Oh Lord, deliver me from the body of this death. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Persevere until the end, Jesus said. Why would he say that? Because it's not easy. Oh, he thought it was going to be easy. He thought you come to church because it makes life easy. No, it makes you stand up and walk through it, taking God's hand. It won't be easy. That's why we stick together, because it's not easy. We comfort one another. We walk with one another. Even the redeemed hope for the final day of redemption. The day even when our flesh no longer wars against the Holy Spirit. When we are no longer plagued with trials and temptations and sufferings. But we are not the first to have gone through the things that we go through during the course of our lives. Matthew chapter 8, just very quickly, just leave you with this thought today, because this is a very practical application. Matthew chapter 1, verse 28. Did I get that right? 1:18 to 23, thank you. Matthew 1:18 to 23. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. So this is going to be without wrinkle, right? I mean, God's will, perfect. No effort, just simple. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Awkward! This can't be God's will. It's got trouble in it. This can't be. This isn't smooth. This isn't easy. This can't be God's will. Oh, hang on. Gets worse. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example of her, she could have been stoned for that, was minded to put her away secretly. Okay, so now as a believer, I got to keep a secret. My wife's pregnant. I don't know. What do I do with this? But while he thought about these things, as he's bouncing his head off a wall back and forth, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Oh, great, we need an angel in a dream. Okay, am I just dreaming or is this really an angel? God, can you not make it clear? Oh, this can't be the will of God. It's way too complex. But this is what happened. Angel came to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Don't know of any other cases where that ever happened. It can't be God's will, because it's never happened before. We tell God silly things, don't we? Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus. It's a good name. I like that. And he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I'll not leave you orphans. God with us. Perfect. You can bet Joseph went to Isaiah in a heartbeat when the angel spoke to him like that. Isaiah? I never saw that in Isaiah. And, I never imagined it would happen to me. Oh, please. Our expectations of what we think God should do are mostly out to lunch. He's able to do anything. But we can trust him to do anything and everything well. Therein lies our hope. Our living hope. Therein lies our living hope. And it goes right from earth right on to eternity. We're good because he's seen to it. We're all right. He'll keep us.